Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at growing herbs, fruits, and vegetables in small spaces. Looking forward to talking with our guest, Mark Ritzel-Smith. But before we do that, just take a quick minute or two here to talk about our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. You know, your support, it's an essential piece of the funding for all the shows you enjoy here on WPR. Listener support's our largest source of funding for our shows. And this drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And, you know, for Garden Talk and for the fund drive, who else would I have on the show but the WPR garden guru?
That's me. That's
Jill,
me.
Jill Nadeau. Jill's back. And Jill, how are we doing, by the way?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure because I can't get my thing up.
Oh, well, I know that I know the goal. There's a goal of 15.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. I'm having screen problems here, but thank you, Larry. You're always there for me. You know, these hourly goals are really important because they help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a commitment to quality here, and that's why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up our largest piece of funding for the shows, that quality is possible thanks to you, as a matter of fact.
It certainly is. Your contribution makes this program possible and all the others as well. So when you give, you know, you're part of the quality that you hear every day on WPR. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've been listening for a long time without giving because you didn't know that we were listener supported. I've had some guests or some listeners to Garden Talk tell me they didn't realize until they heard me speak that I was on other days of the week.
I know. I've actually run across that, too. We're here all the time, every day of the week, people.
And I'll tell you what, the largest source of funding comes from you. Listeners.
Yep. And we're here 5 days a week because of that. And, you know, maybe you've been listening for a while and you like what you heard and you're still listening. So now is the perfect time to support the programming you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount that you choose makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our spring member drive, it makes the programs you rely on, like Garden Talk, possible. And your gift, well, it might be $10 a month, might be $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
It is, and giving at WPR is easy. All it takes is just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So I hope you'll show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And please give as generously as you can.
Well, Larry, we've got about, 50 minutes or so left,
yeah.
And we're looking for 12 more people to join in. So thank you for those that have. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And the new WPR glass tumbler, which I haven't seen yet, in person.
I know. I've seen pictures. It looks kind of cool.
It looks kind of cool, and so I'm going to wind up getting one for sure. It's the perfect way to enjoy your favorite beverage and share the fact that WPR is your source of news and inspiration. Ask for yours when you give $12 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, well, become one right now. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love and get automatically entered in the drawings we have during member drives. And like Melody in Hubertus says, I love the Larry Mueller Show and many others. I also listen to your classical station every day. Thanks, Melody.
Yeah, thanks, Melody. Your gift right now is so powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much. Well, here we are in Garden Talk. And I've been looking forward to this program because we get lots of questions about growing vegetables and growing flowers in small spaces. How do we do it? A lot of people have apartments or they have a small home and they, you know, how am I going to grow an apple tree? I tell you what, our guest, Mark Ridzel-Smith, is the author of a new book, Vertical Veg, Guide to Container Gardening. And at some point during the show, we're going to talk about how he grows an apple tree in a pot, and he gets over 100 apples as a result of it, and he does a lot more too. And so as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in with your own questions and comments. Call us 800-642-1234, send an email to ideas@wpr.org, and Jill's going to chime in too as we go along here today and talking with Mark Ridzel-Smith. Mark, thanks a lot for joining in all the way from England. Appreciate it very much.
It's my pleasure. I'm really excited to be here with you.
Well, I think it's an interesting story in your book about how you got into growing food in small spaces. Give our listeners a little history on that.
Yeah, well, sure. So I lived in London in the UK, and I've been living in the same flat. It didn't have a garden, and I've been living there for like 15 years. And suddenly I got this thing that I really wanted to grow my own food, but I didn't have a garden to grow it in, and there wasn't anywhere else. So I just thought, well, I'll try my balcony, and I wasn't expecting very much. And so I was amazed to discover we could actually grow enough food to be eating something every day off the balcony. And as well as that, we got to meet all the neighbors because they were all interested in it. And we got to recycle all our waste food, and we started eating a lot better. And I just really fell in love with it.
You know, I spent, we were on a trip, a Wisconsin Public Radio garden tour, we called it. And we went to England and spent some time in London. And we were fortunate to be able to visit some private gardens, I think 7 or 8 private gardens in London, within London itself. And these are gardens, I mean, these are small plots.
Sure.
And small spaces. And I was amazed at the beauty and the thinking that must have gone into putting together vegetables and flowers in small spaces where shade might be an issue in part of the lawn and not in part of the area and not another part of the area. It really amazed me. And I thought to myself, well, people here have learned to do a really good job in a small space.
I think it's I think one of the nice things about a small space, I think there's, you know, obviously you're constricted by the size, but then you can put all your energy into that small amount of space. And in some ways that's very rewarding, because I think one of the challenges for some gardeners is actually it's easy for it to all get out of the hand and to feel too much work and too many things to do. Whereas, you know, one of the benefits of a small space is it's much more contained. And particularly with containers, you can choose how many containers you have. You can have, you can increase the number or decrease the number. And so you can have the sort of garden that feels right for you. And you can put a lot of thought into making it as productive or as beautiful in that small space as you can.
And one of the things I liked in the book, Mark, was the fact that you warned people, don't start out too big. I think most gardeners do. And even those that have been gardening for a while, we have got, you know, we plant every seed that we get and it just gets a little overwhelming, doesn't it?
Yeah, we all do that, don't we? And I mean, I know lots of people that I work with, you know, particularly people starting out, you know, they sow lots of tomatoes inside and then they can't bear to pull them out and so their whole home gets full yes. of tomato plants. But then that's lovely because then they end up giving them away to neighbours. And that's one of the things I love about growing is how, you know, it enables you to make connections with other people who live around you. And there's nothing better than, for many people, being given a plant. It's a lovely thing to be able to give someone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you went from, you know, this first small garden to being called the Vertical Veg Man, which I like that.
That's a great name.
That's a great name. How did that land on you?
Oh, it was a bit funny, really, because when I started growing on my balcony, I was growing quite a lot of food. And just a friend of mine came round one day and said, Mark, how's your vertical veg getting on? And I just said, I thought, oh, I really like that. I'm going to call what I do vertical veg. And then I wrote some articles for a newspaper in the UK, some how-to articles called The Guardian, and they started calling me the Vertical Veg Man. So after that, it stuck.
It's great. That's a great moniker. I love it.
How do you recommend for people who don't grow? You know, I'm wondering, actually, let me put it this way. I'm wondering about the reasons people don't grow food. Is it because of their space or what do you think?
That's a really interesting question. And I was involved in a project a couple of years ago locally where we knocked on people's doors on a street, people who didn't have any gardens, and we had pots and seeds and compost, potting mix, and we asked them, would you like to grow a plant? We were giving them away. And I was expecting most people to not want to, just basically sort of close the door on us and say, no, I'm not interested, but I'd hope we'd get a few. But as it turned out, 80% of the houses we knocked on the door of wanted to grow something. So at least from that sample, I think a lot of people want to do it. I just think for many people, if it's easy for them, but I think the barrier of going to the shop, buying the potting mix, buying the seeds and knowing what to get is maybe quite a big step for some people, who, yeah. particularly if you've never grown before. But when given the chance, people seem to want to do it.
And there you were, providing all of the ingredients, you know, if a person doesn't know, what do I put in the soil, just put soil dirt in, or what do I do? I think that education value, which is, part of the reason I like your book, The Vertical Veg, Guide to Container Gardening, because you do pretty much give a complete listing and discussion of how to do it.
Yeah, you really do, Mark.
Well, thank you. So I'm trying to make it, I'm hoping the book works on two levels. On one level, growing is very, very simple. And the basics, if you do the basics, 9 times out of 10, it will work. So I've tried to explain what those basics are quite simply for people to pick up. But then it's also one of those things where you can keep learning for the rest of your life. So then for each step, I also then do go into more detail so people can read more as they get more experience. But But the basics are, you know, I think it's often overcomplicated. If you put a seed in soil and water it and put it in sun, it will normally grow.
It's so intimidating for some people.
Mark Ridsell-Smith, Yeah, go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. What I was going to say, actually, what we gave people when we did the this project was we gave people microgreens to grow, and particularly like pea shoots, because they grow really quickly and in about 2 weeks. And I think people really like that, the fact that you grow something and immediately you get a result and something to eat from the kitchen. Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Mark Ridsell-Smith, our guest today. His new book is titled The Vertical Veg: Guide to Container Gardening. And you can join in with your questions. Number to call 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org with your questions for Mark. Love to hear from you. Here we are during our spring member drive. Jill Nadeau with me today. I'm Larry Mueller, of course. And as a listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in to Garden Talk and all the other programs. And I think that's really big thanks to your support. You provide the largest share of funding for our shows, and when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make Garden Talk and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And we only need 10 more people to join in the next 40 minutes or so, and we'll meet the goal that was given to us. And these hourly goals are set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, every Friday we hear from a different expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening.
Yep.
And we talk with horticulture professors, we talk with nationally renowned gardeners, and internationally renowned gardeners like our guest today, Mark Ridsell-Smith. And we also specialize maybe for an hour and a half in lawns, or we look at trees. We sometimes talk about native plants and a whole lot more. So I hope you'll support this weekly show where you get so much gardening information all year long with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And think about it. Maybe you listened to WPR in school as a kid or in the car with your parents, or maybe you just found us on your own. No matter how you first tuned in, you probably want to see WPR continue. It's an important part of Wisconsin.
And, you know, if you've never given before, and there are a lot of people listening today who have never given before, I'm pretty sure, this would be a great time to start. It's never too late to make that first contribution of, say, $10 or $20 a month. It's easy. It doesn't take long. You can go to WPR.org or you can phone 888-202-2552.
Introducing the newest addition to your drinkware collection, the WPR Glass Tumbler. Show off your support for WPR while enjoying your favorite beverage from this high-quality 11-ounce glass. Whether it's for your morning iced coffee or a relaxing nightcap, add some elegance to the experience when you ask for your WPR Glass Tumbler with your gift of $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 during our spring member drive. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift, $10 a month maybe, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it has an important impact.
It does, and slowly but surely, we're getting up to where we need. We've got 35 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for nine more gardening people to join in. Make your gift of support for the programs that you enjoy and rely on every day.
Our programs are listener-powered, and that means your donation makes a big difference. And during Garden Talk, I have to tell you, is maybe our most popular weekday show.
I think it is, Larry.
I think it is the most popular weekday show. And so we rely on support from those who enjoy Garden Talk to help us out. So if you like Garden Talk, or you like one of the, maybe you don't like Garden Talk. I can't imagine you'd be listening if you didn't like Garden Talk. Maybe you like other programs just as well, or maybe even better. Support us with a contribution at WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552.
Remember, WPR programs are listener-powered, and that means that your donation right now makes a difference. It really, really does. No matter what you give, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've got to go online and look at that glass tumbler. Everybody says, oh, it's really nice. And you can get one of those tumblers when you make a gift at $12 a month or more in support of WPR programs. Nice looking. It's elegant, I'm told, with a and it'll be kind of a daily reminder.
There you go.
How much you value WPR. I'm going to get one of those. I'm going to make the contribution
nice.
And get one.
I wish there was two, though, because one just seems kind of lonely.
Well, we'll just have to contribute twice.
Oh, that'll work.
That'll
Shh,
work.
Don't tell anybody.
You can ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you very much. And make today the day that you maybe increase your support of WPR. Maybe it's $5 or $10 a month. Whatever you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And if you're like Heidi in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, and says, I love listening to Larry, tell us by supporting us.
Heidi, thanks a lot. What about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, and we're talking with Mark Ridzel-Smith. Mark is the author of the new book, The Vertical Veg, Guide to Container Gardening, a beautiful book. Lots of lots of great photos in it. You're gonna love just looking at it, but also a lot of really great information. And if you have a question, maybe you're trying it and having some problems, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@WPR.org. Mark, what do you think are the basic differences between growing in the ground and growing in containers?
That's a great question, Larry. I think I sometimes liken it actually to the difference between a wild animal and a pet.
Oh, that's great.
In the wild animals, like growing in the ground is like having a wild animal. It can pretty much sort of manage it on its own. You know, it can have its hard times and stuff like that, but it can get most of what it needs generally, you know, unless there's a drought or something. Whereas plants in containers are a bit like pets, you know, they need watering and they need feeding, you know, so you aren't going to have a cat and like neglect it for a few days. You know, it's a bit, it's not a lot of work. And actually, in the right mindset, it's very, very pleasurable. It's a lovely thing to do, to be able to go outside and water your plants. But they do need a little bit of care and attention most of the time, most days.
That's a great way of talking about it. So for those who maybe haven't grown before, what do you recommend they start with?
Yeah, well, the thing is, you can grow almost anything you want in a container. Nothing is that difficult. So I think it's important to try something that you're excited by and you're going to be excited to eat. Having said that, there are some things which are quick and easy to grow. And so I think people often find it very rewarding and motivating to grow, have a success quickly. And one of the things that I've often sow with people early on is the microgreens. So things like pea shoots, sunflower shoots, radish shoots. And basically what you're doing here is you're sowing lots of seeds thickly in a tray and then eating them just after about 2 or 3 weeks when they're just like 2 inches high. And it's very quick and they're very, very delicious and they're also very nutritious. So that's one I do. And Another easy one to get started with, and this is easy for people, because I imagine in your shops there, you can buy, just in the supermarket, they sell herbs. They're not right in pots. Can you buy herbs in pots in supermarkets?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. So in the UK, we get them, but they're in these very small pots and people bring them home and they die quite quickly. And the reason they die is that the pot is just too small.
Yes.
So all of the simple thing to do is just buy some of those supermarket herbs, put them into bigger pots. And often you'll find that they will. I've got a mint plant that I bought from a supermarket, but it's now 10 years old. And all I've done is put it in a bigger pot. And every year I get it out, chop it in half and put it in another pot. And it's just a really easy way to get going and have some food quickly. But other things which are good, I think, for starting out are things like all the salads are quite easy. Runner beans are fun to grow. They go climbing beans because they grow tall and quickly and they look really impressive. Another one I think is quite fine are tomatoes as well, just because they're so delicious, but they take a little bit longer to grow. And you need a nice sunny place to grow tomatoes. But I think everybody who grows their own tomatoes loves them.
Yes, no doubt about that. Well, one of the cool things I like about the photos, and a lot of those are from your own, probably your own garden, I would imagine. I'm pretty sure.
I think they all are, Larry. Yes, they all are.
And you've got some of the really creative designs. Let's talk about design for a minute. In creating a garden, I love how how smart and how cool you were in developing ways to grow plants, a lot of plants in a very small area, sometimes by just going up a bit.
Right.
Yeah, so it's I think that's one of the fun things for a lot of people who grow in a small space is that you always want to grow more. You always want to fit in another container. So you have to work out. So people come up with all sorts of ingenious ways of squeezing another container in. And some of them, I think I really like the simple ones, actually. So one that I've done a lot is make ladders. So you just have basically ladders with shelves going up. But suddenly you can transform a space where you could maybe put one or two pots into like four or five layers of pots. And the pots higher up will often get more sun, because that's generally what you find in a lot of small spaces. Not always, but quite often you get more sun higher up. And also, if you lean the ladder against the wall, you actually get some nice storage space underneath. So that's really one of my favorite ways to make more of a space. But then also you can do things just like putting simple shelves up. If you've got a balcony, you might be able to put shelves up on the wall, and then you can put your plants on the shelves and create more space there. And I also really like growing climbers, because they fill up that vertical space. So if you grow things like runner beans and peas up wigwams, or vining tomatoes tall, you start using that vertical space and that starts really filling up the area. And I think it's, if you've got in a small space, it's quite nice to see it in three dimensions, to think of it as a cube. And to look at how you can fill up, as well as the flat spaces, how you can fill up all the spaces higher up as well, with hanging baskets or shelves or climbers or whatever. Yeah. So you get a three-dimensional garden.
Aaron in Milwaukee shot us an email. He wonders if you could give any advice for growing outdoor plants in fabric pots. Do you use fabric pots, or do you have some advice for growing in them?
I have used fabric pots, but not a lot. A lot of the pots I use just tend to be things I find. Plastic pots a lot. I use a lot of crates from the supermarket, actually, because they're very good size. Fabric pots are good to grow in, though. You just have to be a bit careful of watering, because the water will evaporate from the sides as well as from the top. So you need to check on watering and check it doesn't dry out too much. But I think they're very good for the root systems in general, because they breathe much better, so you're going to get more air into the soil. So they're a nice choice. And but I would say sort of try different sorts of containers and find the ones you like. And some people love those fabric pots, and some people prefer to use terracotta or wood or plastic. There's no right one. I mean, one of the nice things about those material ones is they're very light as well, which is a big benefit.
Yeah, that is a big benefit. And I mean, are there plants that you wouldn't put in a plastic pot? Or I'm trying to get at other types of pots that you ought to consider based on the plants themselves.
I think the size is probably more important than the material.
Yeah.
I guess one thing that I would probably consider is that some terracotta pots tend to dry out a bit more quickly, so particularly the small sizes. So I wouldn't grow anything which is likes a lot of water, like beans, for example, in a small terracotta pot. But in general, I think it's more normally the size, which is the key thing.
Now, Mark, you made a point in your book about saying to make sure that your balcony or your rooftop can handle the weight, because that dirt weighs a lot when you put a lot together, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, that's a really it's a really important point, because, yeah, when you start adding more and more containers and the weight of the dirt, then when it gets waterlogged with the rain, you know, it can be a significant weight. And the last thing you want is for your balcony to collapse or go through into your downstairs neighbor's house. So it is important to consider that and bear that in mind when you're designing your balcony.
Mark Ritzel-Smith, our guest today, he is the author of the book, The Vertical Veg Guide to Container Gardening. I'm really enjoying his book, and I hope you'll join in with your questions. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Give a call. People are a little quiet today. You can email us to ideas@wpr.org. And here we are in our spring member drive. Jill Nadeau and I are here, and we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your listening at this moment.
And listener support, of course, makes up the largest piece of the funding for programs that you count on. No money, no programs. That's pretty much what it comes down to. So that's why your gift means so much. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's so important.
And still about 20 minutes to go, and we're looking for more people to join in. So by golly, join right on in. Thanks that we've already given.
Absolutely. And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy, like this one. We're taking a little break, so now you can call in, right? Perfect, yeah. Larry.
It's the perfect time. And you know, it's been so much fun for you and I, well, for me, and to be talking with you and to Mark Ritzel-Smith, who's has written a fantastic book.
Yes.
And this kind of topic, I know, I can't tell you how many times we've had questions about how do I grow something in my patio.
Yes, patio's a lot.
Patio's a lot. And we're going to get into a lot more with him as we go along, because we can talk about things like disease and insect issues, or are there issues, and how to deal with them. We're going to talk some more about design. A whole lot more about growing vegetables in small spaces. And I think it's an important show for a lot of people. And here we are, listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution, you make this hour, this Garden Talk, and many other Garden Talks possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a couple of minutes, and make your gift.
And really, if you think about it, you know, you spend money on stuff every day, like coffee or takeout, or, you know, you go past a store and you think, oh, you know, I could use some peanuts today or something. You know, it adds up after a while. And it's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
And, of course, WPR is part of your routine as well. It's your news source, your conversation starter, perhaps. It's your Garden Talk show every Friday and Saturday mornings.
Saturday mornings, too.
As well at 6 o'clock. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Bruce, thank you very much. What about you? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. The programs you enjoy, like Garden Talk, are possible thanks to your support and your contribution. $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a difference for our entire community.
And Wisconsin has access to quality news, talk, and entertainment because 50,000 individuals and households choose to support WPR. But there's more there listening, Larry.
There are?
There are a lot more.
There are people listening that haven't contributed.
A few. You know who you are, people.
Well, if you're one of those, I hope you'll join in and make a contribution right now. The number to call is 888-202-2552. Or if you want to go online, just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Yep. And we are, what are we at? About almost 15 minutes and we're still looking for nine, Larry. That's been stuck there for a long time. You can make WPR possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you want to become a sustainer, I think that'd be a really great thing to do right now. It's easy to set up with monthly payments from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You'll be providing some ongoing support for the programs like Garden Talk, ones you love. And you get automatically entered in the drawings we have during member drawings.
And if you're like me in Elizabeth and Almond, Wisconsin, we say Larry Mueller is just the best.
Well, thank you, Jill. Thank you, Elizabeth. Oh, man, your gift, very powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, and we're talking today and having a great time doing it with Mark Ritzel-Smith, author of the new book, The Vertical Veg Guide to Container Gardening. Hope you'll join in. Questions for Mark, you can call us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. A couple of questions. One from Charlene in Northeast Iowa. She called, she couldn't stay with us, but she's wondering about growing raspberries in a pot. She has a patio on the south side of the house, gets full sun. How big and how deep of a pot does she need to grow raspberries?
That's a nice question. Yeah, raspberries are really good to have in a pot. It's just so nice to be able to pop outside and pick a bowl of fresh raspberries. So it just tastes so good when they just stop. If you can get them in the bowl, it's actually more tempting just to put them in your mouth, isn't it, when you've got raspberries? But I think one of the things with raspberries is to think about if you're growing them in a pot, it's much easier to grow ones which fruit on this year's growth. So some raspberries, in the UK, we call them autumn raspberries, fruit, on the canes that have come up this year. And some raspberries, you have to grow them for 2 years and they fruit on the second year. And because of the amount of space in a cane container is much less, it's much easier to grow them on, much easier to grow in a container ones which fruit this year, on this year's growth. And there's another variety called Purple Glencoe, which is a summer fruiting raspberry, but it fruits on this year's growth, which is really nice because it makes it really easy. So you just, at the end of the year, you just cut down all the stems that have fruited, and the ones which are coming up will then produce fruit the next year. And it produces a beautiful purple coloured raspberry and is really delicious. So that's a really good choice for a container. And probably you could get away with growing them in about, I'm not very good at converting litres and gallons. Is 20 litres, is that 4 gallons?
Sure.
Yeah, that's about right.
So it'd be about a 4 gallon.
4 or 5. Mm-hmm.
A 4 gallon pot would probably be the, about the smallest, and probably a bit bigger if you can. But it's a good one to grow in a container.
Aaron in Milwaukee wondering again about the pros and cons of watering potted plants from the top versus from the bottom in a tray.
That's a really interesting question. So I always water all mine from the top, and that's because I have got a lot of pots. And watering them all in trays would be difficult. But the thing you have to be really careful about trays is, for indoor growing, trays are really good because, or can be good, because you can add the water into the tray and you're in control of it. There isn't going to be any rain. But what can happen is, if you use trays outside, is if it rains a lot, and I'm not sure what it's like there, but in the United Kingdom, in England, we can have a lot of rain. What happens is that the water can fill up the trays, the rain can fill up the trays, and then your pots end up sitting in water for a long period of time. And it's fine for a plant to sit in a pot of water for a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours. But if it sits in a pot, in a tray of water for a longer period, the soil can get waterlogged, and that is no good for the plant at all. So, and it can, you know, it can die. So personally, I prefer to top water. But if you have the time to keep an eye on your containers, and if it's raining, tip the water out of the trays, then that can also be a good method.
I have good points there. I want to go back to Charlene, who I failed to ask all of her question. She wondered about how deep the pot should be for raspberries. That is, you know, she's wondering how big it should be, but how deep it should be as well for the roots.
Yeah. So for most plants, the volume is more important than the depth. I always used to ask when I started. How deep does the pot need to be? And then I went to a garden where they were growing everything in 6 inches, 6 inches of soil. They even had quite big trees in 6 inches of soil. And the reason they could do that was because they had a large volume. So there are some exceptions, but for most plants, it's the volume is the most important thing. So as long as a container is probably 10 inches, a foot deep, she'll be fine. But it's the actual volume of it, which is, so the bigger, the wider it is, the more volume it is, the easier it will be to grow and the healthier it will grow. Hope that helps.
Mark, I had a follow-up. You know, we're a little chillier here than you are. Do you have to worry about your perennial things, like those raspberries, in the winter months?
What zone are you?
That's a really good question. I think I'm in zone 8. We don't really do zones here in the UK. We're really bad at it. I think I might be zone 8 or zone 9. I have looked this up before. I should have done, shouldn't I, today before coming to talk to you. We go down to about minus... Oh, we do centigrade, don't
we?
That's not going to help you. but we do have snow. We do have snow, but maybe not...
Doesn't last.
We're zones 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think you're probably maybe 7 or 8 maybe in the UK. Well, it depends, you know. You're surrounded by water. So I imagine you've got a lot of different zones all over the place. So
Yeah.
But
most things survive. I mean, we had a cold winter this year and I had a few things which died. But I found it makes a big difference. I've got 2 spaces that I grow in, and one place is much more exposed to the wind than the other. And I've noticed that for winter, if I can put anything which I'm worried about in the more sheltered place, that really makes a massive difference, because I think the combination of cold and strong winds can really can really knock plants out.
Definitely.
Somebody was wondering where you live in England.
Newcastle upon Tyne. It's about 300 miles north of London, so it's nearer Scotland really than nearer Edinburgh in Scotland than London in England.
I spent a little time there on not on that tour that I talked about earlier, but for a business. I was involved with a Biosys Corporation, and they had some offices there, and so spent a lovely couple of days in Newcastle upon Tyne. So it is a lovely lovely place. Well, this is fun, and we're going to keep going with the fun here. Mark Ritzel Smith, our guest today, and his new book is called "The Vertical Veg: Guide to Container Gardening," full of photos and a lot of great advice about how to grow in small, grow veggies. Yeah, you could grow flowers as well, obviously, in small places. It's part of what you hear on Garden Talk. And during our member drive, Jill and I want to remind you, our goal is to keep bringing you topics like growing in small spaces and all the other kinds of gardening things that we talk about here on the show. Your support makes it all happen, because listener support's the largest source of funding for our program. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, we're down to 5 minutes in this hour, and we're still looking for 6 more people to join in. So thanks for those 3 that decided to take the plunge. Now we need 6 more of you. Your gift right now is so important, because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
And of course, thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, the time to do it right now, just give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know, we have so much information for people who are interested in gardening just on this show alone. We just talked about, you know, putting it on a balcony, putting it on the patio, growing raspberries in a container. I wouldn't have even thought about that.
I wouldn't have either.
And where else are you going to hear about it? And where else can you ask a wonderful experience now? Knowledgeable guest from the UK about growing. You know, it enriches your life, and it's unique, and it's listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and all of the other hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Just takes a few minutes and make your gift.
And if you want to give $12 a month or more, we'll send you one of our new WPR tumblers.
That's right.
How does that strike you? It is an elegant glass.
It is elegant. It really is.
And the cool thing about it, I think it's got that sound wave design that we use, and a little shout out to your favorite station. So $12 a month, maybe more, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and we'll send you a tumbler.
I wake up to Wisconsin Public Radio. The alarm goes off. It's better than a snooze alarm for me, because I get to hear a lot of interesting things, especially in the car. If it's not public radio, I'll turn on some golden oldies for a while, but that gets, then you heard the same song 75,000 times, you get tired of it. Maybe try some country western, but mostly I keep going back to public radio because there's always new stuff. I'm John Ink from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is my source for a clear view of the world.
John, thanks a lot. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our Spring Member Drive. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our programs, And that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does have an important impact.
It does. And we only have a few minutes left, Larry. And we're still looking for six people.
We are.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible?
No, it's not. It's not the worst thing in the world.
But it makes me sad.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you haven't given yet, help Jill out.
Please,
help Larry out.
Please.
Do it right now because you enjoy the shows. At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift, it funds the programs.
It really does. And you know what? You can choose how much you want to give. I wish I could do that with some of my other bills.
Yeah.
You know, like Netflix, Hulu, whatever. It's expensive, but you rely on them all the time, just like you rely on us.
So give now. You choose the amount. Your gift makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We got just a few minutes left or a minute or so left.
That's correct. If you're not a sustainer, you know what? You can become one right now. It's easy. You don't have to worry about it. So why don't you do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And really easy to set up, as Jill was saying. And you'll be providing some ongoing support. And you know what? You're going to be putting in a vote for Garden Talk.
Yeah.
If you contribute during... We keep track of these
not
things.
Not that we're competitive or
or not that we're looking at the numbers
no,
at all.
No.
But if you haven't contributed, why not do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You're going to feel good about it when you're done, and we'll feel grateful, and we'll also feel good because you did it. I'm Larry Mealer with Jill Nadeau on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mealer here with Jill Nadeau, and our guest is Mark Ridzel-Smith. Mark, a Londoner, now living in Newcastle upon Tyne, a self-taught grower, has spent over 10 years teaching people how to grow produce in small spaces, and he's put all that knowledge into a new book. It's called The Vertical Veg, Guide to Container Gardening. And we'd love to hear from you. Are you having problems growing edibles in a small space? You want some advice on maybe how to get started in gardening in containers? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Charlene from Iowa called back. She says she's so happy you answered her question about growing raspberries. She's excited to do it, and she wanted us to know she's really enjoying the show. How about that? That's always nice to hear.
Thank you, Charlene.
Thanks so much. We have, there's lots that we can talk about. Should we talk about compost for a minute there?
I think that's a good idea.
I love the photo of the compost container in that small space. Go ahead, Mark. Talk about composting in small and small spaces.
Yeah, sure. So the sort of composting I do is with worms. It really suits small spaces. And... even when I had a small balcony, I had managed to squeeze in a wormery on the balcony. And the benefit of having a wormery in a small space is that you can also put your waste food into it. So you can, your coffee grounds and your tea leaves and everything like that. And you can mix it all up with the worms. And after about 3 to 6 months, once it's going straight, you'll be able to get out the most fantastic compost from it. And worm compost is particularly good because when it passes through the worms, it gets full of lots of microbial life, which is really wonderful for the plants. I mean, just in the same way that humans need microbial life in their gut to digest the food, plants need microbial life in the soil to get the goodness out of the soil. So when you have a wormery, not only are you recycling your food, but you're also giving your containers that wonderful microbial life they need for the plants to be healthy.
And there was, I'm remembering a photo from the book. I don't have it right in front of me, but there was a nice wooden, it looked like a wooden bench. And actually, you used it for a bench, but it was also inside had the compost.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do, actually. In a small space, you often want things to have more than one function. So you can make a wormery into a wooden box, which is a bench. And yeah, you can use to sit on it, or you can use it to put more plant pots on when you're not being. And that's a lovely way to make the most of a small space.
And I think you can order one of those from someplace and have it delivered, or you can just probably make one.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's basically the main thing is it's a box.
Yeah.
Which needs it needs good airflow. That's the only thing. So what I do is I make a box, and it's wooden size, but then the base is wire mesh, and it's on feet so that the air can come up underneath. And you want to make sure the wire mesh is small enough so that our rodent friends can't squeeze in through the holes.
Good point.
But that's all it is. And then with a lid to keep out, the lid is important to keep out of the water because you don't want it too wet. So it's not too difficult. If you can do woodwork, it's not too difficult to make yourself because it's basically a box. Or look online, you can probably find one to buy as well. Or adapt. You know, I know people who've made them out of wooden drawers and that sort of thing, which is always quite fun as well.
For sure, for sure. That's a really good tip. What was I going to ask, Larry?
I don't know.
I was getting so involved in this that I kind of it flew out of my head.
I was wondering about you, and you do deal in your book with the whole range of growing and the plants to use, the seeds that you're kind of recommending. But there's also other issues. There could be some disease, and there could be some insect issues.
And I was going to ask, I finally remembered now, is pollinators, because you need to get those in there too. So just go ahead and talk for the rest of the
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, pollinate. I mean, the nice thing about pollinators is it's a good excuse to grow some flowers in amongst all your vegetables. So it's really nice to have some flowers in there. And, you know, coming back to Larry's point about how it's nice to have a wormery, which you can also use as a bench. There's a lot of flowers you can grow, but you can also eat as well. So that's quite nice. So a lot of the herbs have edible flowers. So like our lavender is flowering at the moment. Lavender has beautiful purple flowers. The bees absolutely love it. So it's great for attracting the bees. But you can also eat the flowers, and the flowers have a really beautiful, it's a very rosemary flavor, but it's slightly more exotic.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the herbs are great. So coriander, lots of insects love the coriander flowers, and sage is really good. But then there's other flowers you can grow that are also edible, but the bees like. So there's calendula or pot marigold, nasturtiums are another one. So, yes, it's a really good excuse to plant flowers. And you will often find that, in many spaces, the bees will come. And coming on to the point about pests and things, that is always very disappointing, isn't it? If you put all this effort into a garden and then you find things get eaten.
Yes.
I'm just dealing with the pigeons at the moment. They've just dug up. They're blackbirds, actually. They've dug up a whole lot of seedlings. And what's annoying about it is if they eat them, at least I think, well, I'm helping to sustain nature. But actually, they've just dug them up and left them, which is a bit frustrating. But for most often with insects and things, the main problem often happens in container gardens when the plants get stressed in the containers, because maybe they haven't had enough water or they've got too hot or something. And when plants get stressed, they get weakened. And just like us, when we get stressed, we get much more likely to be ill. And it's exactly the same with plants. So the best pest prevention thing, you don't normally, I never use any chemicals on mine because I don't need to, because I put my effort into trying to make sure that they're healthy, and healthy plants will be much less prone to get sick. So that would be my big tip, really, is really to try and have a good watering tree routine to make sure your plants don't dry out, because the worst pest problems are nearly always in container gardens where the plants don't get quite enough water. And then maybe also to feed them, if you can get liquid seaweed, that's a bit like vitamins for plants. It contains lots of minerals, and you just water it onto the dirt, or you can spray it as a foliar feed onto the leaves. You just spray it, put it into a spray bottle, dilute it, put it into a spray bottle, spray it on the leaves. The plant absorbs it. And like us, when we have all a good diet with lots of vitamins and things, we become stronger and healthier. And plants are amazing things. They can like produce chemicals which deter aphids and things, but they need to be strong and they need to be healthy to do that. So I think that's where I sort of encourage people to do, is to focus their efforts onto growing really healthy plants, and then you don't need to worry about getting any chemicals or anything like that.
You know, one of the things I enjoyed, they have so many great photos in your book, and talking, I was thinking about, you were, you know, thinning, and you have a great shot of, you're at a handful of carrots that you have thinned out of your pots, and I thought, man, I could eat those right now. and you reminding us that as you thin, you can go ahead and put those in a salad or whatever.
Yeah, that's a great way, actually. It's a really good strategy in a pot to make the most of it, is to sow more than you need in there, but then pick out the thinnings. And a lot of the times you can eat everything. So, for example, if you're growing beetroot, if you pick out the thinnings of beetroot, you can eat the baby beets, but then the baby leaves are really, really nice. You can add the baby leaves to a salad, or you can cook with them. The same with turnips. You can eat the leaves of those as well. So, yeah, that's a really nice idea, actually, planting thickly and then thinning them out. And like baby carrots are, they're a treat, aren't they?
And it all goes into a great salad. There's a restaurant that I like to stop at more than often, maybe, than I should. But the salad that I get with whatever I order is usually microgreens and that sort of thing. And I'm actually stopping for the salad.
Sure, Larry.
That accompanies the rest of the meal. That's what drives me there, is how good it tastes.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the joy, isn't it? When you grow stuff at home and you compare, like often we'll pick a salad from here and it will have 3 or 4 different microgreens in it. It will have maybe 3 or 4 different herbs in it. It will probably have 2 or 3 leaves that are quite difficult to buy. And suddenly you have this incredible taste. And when you've just picked it, you know, because like a lot of the salad you buy in the shops, it will have been picked a few days before, been put in a plastic bag, transported in a truck or a plane, sat in a refrigerator. and they lose their flavor and their nutrients in that time. But, you know, if you've got it at home, you pop outside, 10 minutes later, you're eating it.
You know, I'm loving your book, The Vertical Veg, but you also have a website and a blog.
The blog is awesome.
Tell people about it and how they can get into it.
Yeah, well, thank you. So the website is called Vertical Veg. So if you Google Vertical Veg, hopefully it should come up pretty near the top. And I've been sort of journaling, I guess, some of my experiences over the last 12 years there. And there's also in there, there's a box you can sign up for. And I've just produced a little guide with like the most basic things you can, the most important things you can do that really make a difference in your container gardening. It's sort of like 8 steps to success. And you can get that as like a free guide. And the idea of that is it gives you the essential information without hopefully overwhelming you with, you know, because I think it can be very overwhelming when you start. So it just gives you the essential information you start. And that's a free guide if anybody would like to to get that.
And what is it again? The vertical veg?
Yeah, and we do have a link on our program note, Larry. So people can go to WPR.org/Larry, and under this program, there's a link to that website.
And the blog? You really like the blog.
It was great. It was great. I really enjoyed it. I kept reading it. I'm like, I got to stop. I'm working.
Oh, that's kind of you.
And the blog is, how do we, the blog is the
same? It's right there. Mm-hmm.
Right there?
Mm-hmm.
It's called what? It's called the Vertical Veg.
Yeah.
Just Vertical Veg. If you Google Vertical Veg,
it's all going to pop up.
We love Google.
It is a joy talking with you, Mark. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. It's really a lot of fun, and I had fun.
It's been lovely to be with you. I've really so enjoyed it. I always love talking to gardeners, and it's been a real pleasure to talk to you in Wisconsin. And I love imagining all the people, all your listeners out there, and their potential to create container gardens on their patios and other places.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, thank you so much, Mark.
Mark Ridsell-Smith is the author of the book we've been talking about throughout the show. It's called The Vertical Veg, V-E-G. Sometimes people, I don't always pronounce everything correctly, so I'm going to pronounce this one right. Vertical Veg, Guide to Container Gardening. And then to get to his page, if you Google the Vertical Veg,
it should come up. But it's verticalveg.org.uk. If anybody wants a specific one, just because it's in the UK.
And you can always find it at ideas@wpr.org/Larry. Go to today's date, and you will have that information. You know, I forgot to mention, here we are in our drive, and I forgot to mention as we started this half hour that there is a $3,500...
Oh, darn, Larry.
...pledge, and I tell you what, your gift, so your money is going to be doubled, and Jill will probably talk about more about that in a minute, but your gift right now, whatever the amount... whatever's right for you, I should say, makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of our funding. And I hope you'll step up and be counted as a supporter and a fan of Garden Talk with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And like you mentioned, Larry, we have that dollar-for-dollar match, and it's up to $3,500. And it was provided by one of our favorite groups, Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. And it means that for every dollar you give, they will also give us a dollar. So if you give us 50, they'll give us 50. It's a great idea.
Their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting WPR. So double your support right now. A great opportunity at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I love Master Gardeners.
Oh, me too. And so many of our experts also teach Master Gardening classes. And did you know that the Master Gardeners can get continuing education credit for listening to Garden Talk? So it just goes to show that it's a valuable resource for Master Gardeners as well as people just starting out. And you can enjoy the show every week, whether you're an expert or not.
You can indeed. We have some of the best gardeners in the whole state.
They tell us.
Right
they
here.
Answer the questions sometimes.
to answer your question, you know, it might be about fruit trees, could be organic gardening, it could be your rose bushes outside, might be your house plants. Help Garden Talk out right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And when you do, you can ask for a WPR glass tumbler. It's really cool. It's very classy looking, Larry. I mean, you can, you know, use it for orange juice in the morning, or you know what? Maybe you've got a little evening cocktail that you want to use it for. So make room in your drinkware cabinet. Ask for WPR the tumbler, and with your gift of $12 or more a month today, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, as a single guy and often alone, I might use the same glass. I could use that tumbler all day. I could have a little orange juice in the morning, and I just
rinse it out
a little bit. Oh, it was,
I do the same thing, Larry. You know, I'm a single gal, so.
We'll make use of it. How about you? Oh, man. Never drives. Hey, they're a time to celebrate the programs you value. You tune in for the quality you've come to expect. And now we're just asking to support for you to support your values with a donation.
That's right. You know, you turn on the radio every day without an upfront charge and enjoy hours of news, classical music, or conversations like we just had. And WPR is available to everyone because listeners like you help cover the costs.
And you could become a member joining in today, your first ever gift maybe, of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. I'm originally from North Carolina, and there, public radio was very much part of my life. And so about 6 years ago, I came to southeastern Wisconsin to be closer to my family. And one of the things that my daughter told me before I got here was, Mom, you're going to love WPR. And she was right.
All the credit is mine for introducing my mother to WPR. Probably one of the better things I've done for you, huh, Mom? What do you think?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau, and your support during our drive makes all these shows possible, and your gift could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Supporting WPR is right now is a great thing to do. With just a few minutes of your time, we just need your name, how to contact you, and how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Yeah, and your gift supports Garden Talk and all the programs that can keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I think we're doing okay, but we've got that dollar-for-dollar match.
We do, and there's still a little over $2,000 left to match, Larry. That's a lot of money.
Somebody could just drop
$2,000. That would be great.
Then we'd be all done with it. But not
we'll
as likely, although I've had people contribute.
It happens. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh. Absolutely.
Happened.
And that's what I love about this. It doesn't matter as long as you're participating. That's what we're asking for.
Yeah, whatever amount you choose is the right amount. If you choose $1,000 or $2,000, that would be wonderful. But maybe you're going to choose $20 a month or $30 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it's important just to go. Go to WPR.org, make your contribution, or if you'd rather, give a call. 888-202-2552 is that number.
Yep, absolutely. And Clara just let me know that we have about $2,100 left to raise. So actually, someone gave a little bit more, so we've got under $2,000. Thank you. That's wonderful.
That is wonderful indeed. And that person might get one of those glass tumblers.
Yeah.
$12
I was thinking, Larry, if we, we've each got a tumbler. If we meet up with some of these people that have tumblers too, we could have a nice
tumbler party. I like that. Why didn't I think of that?
I don't know, Larry.
The
That's
Larry
why I'm your
and
boss.
Jill or the Jill and Larry. We could call Jill and Larry. That'd be Jal. The Jal tumbler.
My dad used to call me that. That's funny.
Well, here we are into the last minute. We have to go away pretty quick. But that dollar for dollar match actually is in effect right up until 1 o'clock today. But you won't be hearing my voice, at least. for the next half hour, I'm going away, and I'm hoping that we can bring it over the tide. I'd love to do it in the next couple of minutes. You know, we have a lot of fun on the show. We really enjoy it. We like working on the show. We like the community of listeners that we have here. You've been wonderful listeners. You contribute well on the phone. With questions and comments, and you contribute with your dollars to it. If you haven't contributed yet, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make that contribution. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.